Sermon 3. We are those who have received a glorious ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The fragrance of Christ truly emanates from those who are saved. The Apostle Paul said, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Because true Christians give off the aroma of Christ wherever they go, they make the people who meet them know what kind of person Jesus Christ is and what kind of Savior he is. They say that if one hears the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that they preach, one receives salvation from one's sins. Some people say that the fragrance of Christ means that Christians are very humble and gentle people. They consider Christians as people who have polite speech and soft attitudes. However, such knowledge is not accurate. The gospel word of truth that preaches the truth of Christ's salvation is contained within the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, the fragrance of the gospel of salvation that they preach becomes the fragrance of life to some people, and it may not be so to others. There are also those who accept into their hearts the gospel that Christians preach, that is, the gospel word that Jesus was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, received the judgment of sin on the cross, shed his blood, resurrected from death, and has now rescued believers from their sins. They want to have fellowship of faith within the gospel of the water and the Spirit, with those who have become disciples of the Lord. Such people come to Christians, ask about that gospel, believe it in their hearts, and receive the removal of sins. On the other hand, there are also those who think that the fragrance of Christ emanates when they see people who call themselves Christians, but only pretend to be humble on the outside. However, that is hypocrisy, and it is the smell of religion. Those who say they attend church while harboring sin in their hearts are those who give off the smell of worldly religion. Anyway, the spiritual faith that a Christian gives off becomes the fragrance of life to some people. The ministry of the Spirit held by the workers of the New Covenant is even more glorious. The Apostle Paul was thankful before God that he became a worker of the New Covenant. The Apostle Paul said toward the Corinthian church that he did not need to commend himself and did not need to carry letters of recommendation or letters of guarantee. Because the Corinthian church members themselves were the evidence of his ministry. He said, "You have become children of God through the gospel of God, and this was accomplished on the fleshly tablets of the heart. It did not come from us, but the word of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were engraved inside your spirits." Therefore, the Apostle Paul confessed that their adequacy came only from God. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." The Apostle Paul declared that he and his co-workers became workers of the new covenant as servants of God, and that they who received the ministry of the Spirit were even more glorious. He said that even the ministry of the legalists who preach the law and condemn people had glory. So how much more glorious would the ministry of preaching the gospel given by the Lord be? The Apostle Paul explains by taking Moses as an example. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, his face shone, but that glory was soon to disappear. Moses covered his face with a veil. Even today, those who have the ministry of condemning and judging people are asserting their authority inside the church. However, they have fallen into a situation where they cannot rescue even a single person from their sins. Rather, while making church members believe in Jesus, they only amplify their consciousness of sin and eventually lead them to death. On the other hand, because the Apostle Paul and his co-workers received the ministry of the Spirit, they received the ministry of God's workers. Some people try to look like those who guide people to God by disguising themselves as angels of light, decorating their outward appearance splendidly, refining their words to be holy, making their voices beautiful, and making their ceremonies magnificent. However, they only end up making people know God's law, and there are those who cannot testify to Jesus Christ, who was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred onto Jesus' body, went to the cross, shed blood, and resurrected from death. Therefore, we must know that they are those who cannot testify to the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. We must stay away from such people. The office of rescuing a person's soul from sin cannot be held by just anyone. Therefore, it was said that we must know that the office of faith, which preaches this faith of being saved by the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, cannot be held by just anyone. We must know that the office of the evangelist that we believe and preach is noble, and we must be thankful. For a person to be born on this earth, encounter the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, believe it, and serve the gospel means that they have become a person with a great office. Such an office cannot be handled by just anyone. A person who is not born again is merely a subject to hear the gospel word of the water and the Spirit and receive the removal of sins. The office of the gospel evangelist that we have is extremely noble. The one who is entrusted with the work of believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit and preaching it to people is a person who holds the office of saving many souls. It was said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And we are those who have received the office of preaching God's gospel. We are like God's ambassadors sent from the kingdom of heaven. We must rightfully know how noble this office of the evangelist is. The office of an evangelist is not something that can be obtained by making an effort in the world. It is not something that can be bought with money either. It is an office that can finally be handled only when one believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit given by the Lord, receives the removal of sins in the heart, and then, as the next step, achieves unity within the church. God entrusted this office to the Apostle Paul, entrusted it to all his co-workers, and today he has entrusted it to me and you who believe the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. You are also equally those who give off the fragrance of Christ, and those who have received the glorious office of an evangelist. God who uses lacking people. When we think about ourselves, how thankful it is that God has entrusted such precious work to us. The fact that He entrusted us with the work of believing and preaching the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is also amazing. It is God's blessing that we do the work of supplying spiritual food to the saints who believe the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. And we get to see someone hear the gospel, receive the removal of sins, and grow within faith. This work itself is truly a glorious thing. The fact that God uses us as servants of righteousness is an exceedingly great glory and grace. God could preach it directly Himself, but it is the Lord who specifically does this work through me and you who have received the removal of sins. The fact that we participate in this amazing and glorious work of God and live aligning our will with the Lord is a great blessing in itself. You might think that you are not qualified in this area, but God desires to take hold of and use exactly such you and me. Being able to be held in God's hands and be used is glorious in itself. It is not because I am outstanding that I am a person used for precious work before God. Because I believed that the Lord came to this earth, was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to Him, was crucified, resurrected from death, and has now become our Savior, I am preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the whole world. Therefore, there is nothing to boast about my own outstandingness. It is because the Lord blessed me that I was able to become an evangelist. I myself am a lacking person, but I can know that the fact that God uses a person like me becomes God's blessing in itself. God used not outstanding people, but people like Jacob, and through such people, He revealed His glory. He lifted up a hard-hearted person like Pharaoh to manifest God's power, and to lacking people, He manifested God's love by letting them be saved by believing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. All of this is entirely God's glory. Nothing is accomplished because human beings are outstanding. If God does not permit it, there can be nothing accomplished for us. This is not just true for me, but it is the same for you who are currently working together with me. Are there any among you who say they are smart and outstanding? Among us, there is no one who became an evangelist serving this gospel because they are smart before God. Those who are currently preaching the gospel word of the water and the Spirit have received the office of an evangelist before the Lord's word and are being used. We must know that this is God's grace and the blessing bestowed upon those who are saved. The fact that we are inside God's church is a great blessing in itself. I hope that those who are inside God's church will always be thankful for living inside the Lord, and know and believe that this office of serving the Lord is the most noble office. This is not a work that just anyone can do. Only those who have received God's special grace of salvation can handle this office and remain inside the church. The fact that we can live a life of faith together with the church is in itself God's gift and blessing. Some brothers drive a lot for church work. The fact that we are used by God through the work of driving is a thankful thing in itself. If one is not used for God's work, having many talents is of no use. Therefore, we must know and believe how noble the office of an evangelist is. For those who first believed the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, living a life of faith inside God's church is not always easy. However, after being born again, meeting and having fellowship with brothers and sisters who believed first inside the church, and being able to do God's work together inside the church, is a blessing in itself. How great a blessing it is to enter the ranks of God's people and walk together. I also have times when I get exhausted working alone. At such times, the time of hearing the word at a youth meeting or a worship service becomes a great strength. When someone opens and preaches God's word, the Holy Spirit is together within that word. When hearing that word, the heart responds and says Amen, and the Holy Spirit works newly inside me. New strength springs up. When I sit, sing hymns, and hear the word, the Holy Spirit inside me is the one who gives abundant strength. The fact that there is God's church for a born-again person, and the fact that one can live inside that church, this is a great blessing. A person who can live even after leaving the church is merely a person who is not born again. A born-again person wants to hear God's word and yearns to be together with the community of faith within the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside me earnestly desires to enter into God's church, hear God's word preached by the guide, break bread and have fellowship with the saints, and gain new strength within it. A person who does not come to church even after being born again is one of two things. They are either a person without the Holy Spirit or those whose hearts are stubborn. If they distance themselves from God's church, Satan guides their hearts and makes them enter the path of destruction. Eventually, it makes them treat God's church like an enemy and feel anger just by hearing the name Jesus Christ. In other words, it makes them become adversaries of God. Walk together with the church and together with the Lord. God has given me and you God's church, and has given this glorious office of an evangelist. For this, I am truly thankful. Although we cannot know when the Lord will come, I want to live in the grace of the Lord until that day. I want to walk together with the Lord. If the Lord runs ahead, we also run together. If the Lord works slowly, we follow slowly. And in any situation, I want to remain inside the Lord. I conclude the message.